Zion or Klaus. Always welcome everyone to our Sunday program, Sunday Feast program. We should understand, try to understand as much as possible that these Sunday programs which are taking place in all of our temples, all over the world, are giving us a special opportunity to associate amongst ourselves as devotees. And in particular, in addition to, of course, having the wonderful opportunity of having the darshan of the Lord, we get an opportunity, we should take that opportunity of hearing something from the acharyas. We should always establish our temples, especially for this purpose. If it is not always possible for us to go to some holy dham, but we should know, we should understand that by visiting a temple, especially a temple where the Lord is present in His archa-vigraha form. Archa-vigraha form means authorized form to the Lord. It's not idol worship, as some people say. We also don't believe in idol worship. We do not support idol worship. We worship authorized forms of the Lord. This is actually the special mercy of the Lord to His sincere devotees and to anyone, actually even someone who may not have yet taken up the practice of spiritual life, gets immense benefit by simply having even a short darshan of the Lord. This is understood especially when every year, as it will happen next month, in the month of July, is generally that month where we celebrate Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra. So Krishna, not only is He so kind as to manifest His Archa Vigraha form in the temple, but He also agrees to be taken out. That is the whole Rath Yatra festival. He comes out of the temple especially to give an opportunity for those who don't come to the temple. Krishna goes out of His way to actually attract the living entities back to His service. So one of the most important things when we come to a temple is to try and associate with devotees, to try and hear some good instruction which is available through the different lectures, presentations that we have, and by associating also with the devotees. And of course, Sunday program we have on Sundays, not always it is possible for people to come during the week. But the same activity actually can be and should be taken up during the week here. Very, very important, very crucial in order to advance in spiritual life. To be constantly what is referred to as oral reception, oral reception, receiving transcendental sound vibration, hearing transcendental sound vibration. Even if we do not understand, like some sometimes people may not understand English so well, or people may not understand Sanskrit. We'll be reciting one verse in Sanskrit in a few minutes. This question was put to Srila Prabhupada many years ago. In the early days, actually, devotees, especially in the Western countries, knew nothing about Sanskrit. And then more devotees are not so well versed in Sanskrit also. Even many people in India are nowadays also not following so much Sanskrit. So the question which was being asked was that, especially for those who may not be attending our morning program, we recite many, many times, we repeat the Sanskrit verses. We'll be doing that with this for a few minutes shortly. But in the morning when we have Bhagavatam class, and this is how Sri Prabhupada instructed, he wanted that we repeat the Sanskrit verses. So the Lord was asking Sri Prabhupada, we don't understand Sanskrit. What is the use? What is the benefit of hearing something we don't understand? Then Sri Prabhupada made a very important point. And actually, externally, you may not understand because it is Sanskrit, but because it is transcendental sound vibration, actually this is feeding the soul, the spirit soul. Many things we don't understand with our limited material intelligence. So many things. Even we don't understand many material things. I want to speak of spiritual subject matters. However, even if we don't understand, if we make a sincere effort to hear attentively, anything that is connected with the divine realm, anything that is transcendental, this has a positive spiritual effect on us, which we may not be immediately be conscious of. And through this process of purification, then understanding actually increases, because transcendental knowledge is different from ordinary knowledge. And just like in modern education, one has to study very hard, one has to memorize so many things in order to acquire knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is acquired in a different way. What we fail to understand, generally speaking, and we fail to understand that all knowledge is already contained within us. The spirit soul, by nature, is Satchitananda, is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of ananda, happiness. The reason why we are not able to understand or realize these qualities of the spirit soul is due to various levels of material covering, material impurities within the heart. So the more we associate with spiritual, transcendental matters, that purification takes place, and we are able to, and Krishna helps actually in that process, to realize and to understand and to acquire. It comes causes the material knowledge comes when we apply ourselves and accumulate that knowledge. Transcendental knowledge, spiritual knowledge comes in a different way. It becomes, we could say, self-manifest, self-revealed within the heart. So today we have one important verse in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's a little bit connected with one important activity we were discussing a little bit, touching on this point of parampara. So this verse is dealing with parampara. Parampara means becoming officially connected, becoming affiliated with an authorized process, and also authorized teachers or authorized acharyas. It is called Guru Parampara. And one especially becomes connected in Guru Parampara when one takes what is called formal initiation. So we will together hear this verse spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna, and then read the purport given by Srila Prabhupada, and we'll make some a few comments on this. I would like to know if we have those who are possibly coming, any visitors or guests are coming for the first time. Okay. Just raise your hands. Okay. So I'd like to welcome those who are coming for the first time especially. Many of the things that we do, of course, unless you have visited possibly some other temple, but if it is a first time visiting a temple, naturally there will be many new things. So, just to explain what also you learn. Thank you. Small guys, you see. So, we'd like to welcome you also, coming for the first time. If anyone is having difficulty, of course, following in English, it is good that someone can translate in the Hebrew language somewhere in the back. I mean, one Mataji should be there for the Matajis and one Prabhu for the Prabhus. Is there anyone? Maybe you know, or if anyone is not able to follow, of course, I'm saying it in English, they won't understand, whoever is not following English. But if you know anyone who's not able to follow, just have them sit beside you. So this is actually one of the very, very important verses of the Bhagavad Gita, one of the important instructions spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. So we can all follow on the board.
Evam
Evam
Parampara
Parampara
Rattam
Rattam
Evam
Evam
Radarsayo
Radarsayo
Viru
Viru
Sa Kaleneha
Kaleneha
Mahata
Mahata
Yogo
Yogo
Nasta
Nasta
Parantapa
Parantapa
Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Radarsayo Viru
Evam Radarsayo Viru
Sakaleha
Mahata
Yogo Nasta Parantapa
Yogo Nasta Parantapa
Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Radarsayo Viru
Evam Radarsayo Viru
Sakaleha
Mahata
Yogo Nasta Parantapa Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Parampara Praptam
Evam Radarsayo Viduh
Evam Radarsayo Viduh
Sakaleha
Mahata
Yogo Nasta Parantapa
Yogo Nasta Parantapa
Would anyone like to
एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम
एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम
एवं राजर्ष विदु
एवं राजर्ष विदु
सकारने हे महता
सकारने
योगो नष्ट परंतपा
योगो नष्ट परंतपा
एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम
एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम
एवं राजर्ष विदु
इमं राजर्षयो विदुः
सकारनेह महता
योगो
नष्टा परन्तपा
योगो नष्टा परन्तपा
सन्निवार माताजी
एवं परंपरा
माताजी
एवं परंपरा प्राप्तम इमं राजर्षयो विदुः kings understood in that way.
But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it is, appears to be lost. Can you repeat after me? This supreme science,
this supreme science,
was thus received,
was received
through the chain,
through the chain
of disciplic succession,
of disciplic succession,
and the saintly kings,
and the saintly kings
understood it in that way,
understood it that way.
In course of time,
in course of time,
the succession was broken,
the succession was broken.
And therefore the science,
and therefore the science,
as it is,
as it is,
appears to be lost,
appears to be lost.
Report. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings, because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to re-establish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord Himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore He declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as it is received by the Parampara, the disciplic succession system, an attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity. But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarasayo vidhur sakalineha mahata yogo nasta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way, but in course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it is, appears to be lost. Many years ago, when Srila Prabhupada was in America, is mentioned in the beginning, in the introduction. But just to refresh our memory, Srila Prabhupada had not yet printed this edition of the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada, he relates how one American lady, because Srila Prabhupada in the beginning, before he had printed practically any books, he only brought three books with him when he left India in 1965. The first canto, part one, part two, part three, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Other books were actually not translated or printed. So in the beginning, Srila Prabhupada, he would, in New York, give lectures at different places. So he came in contact. He would visit some yoga institutes, because by that time, actually, yoga had started to become a little popular in the West. So one day, this one lady, American lady, she asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, at that time Prabhupada was referred to as Swamiji, Swamiji, can you kindly recommend a good edition of the Bhagavad Gita? I'm interested to read and understand Bhagavad Gita. I understand that it is a very popular book, very important book, actually main book from India. Kindly recommend which edition. So Srila Prabhupada explains, actually, I had to explain to this lady that I did not know any good edition of the Bhagavad Gita. And the same point Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. By that time, actually, even way back as 1965, rather. So that is like 47 years ago. There were close to maybe 700 editions, 700 translations of the Bhagavad Gita, most of which in English. So can you imagine, out of 700 editions of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada could not recommend one. That in itself is significant. Why? Because most Bhagavad Gitas miss out. They don't reveal, they don't present the most important teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. What is the most important teaching of the Bhagavad Gita? In so many verses it is there. Sri Bhagavan Vaja. Sri Bhagavan Vaja means the Supreme Lord says, speaks. The most important point in the Bhagavad Gita, that is why Bhagavad Gita is so important, is that Krishna, who speaks the Bhagavad Gita, is to be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, the Bhagavad Gita simply becomes a treatise, as Prabhupada explains here, or an essay, which is on the level of mental speculation. This is actually a very important point, and especially because this verse is underlining this whole concept of disciplic succession. Here it is nicely explained that actually there is a system. There is a system established by the Supreme Lord Himself, whereby this knowledge, transcendental knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, seed and this also to be enacted upon by saintly kings. Raja Rishi. Raja, Raja means king, who is Rishi. That is why the ancient educational system of Gurukul, just like we recall the system that, or the education that Krishna and Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, after they left Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan they were too busy looking after the cows and the calves. They didn't go to school. It is only when they went to Mathura that their original father and mother, Vasudeva Devaki, who were from Kshatriya family, arranged for them to go to Gurukul. But generally, Vaishyas, Vrindavan Krishna was living with Mother Yashoda, Amma Maharaj, and Mother Yashoda. Mostly for Vaishyas, it is not so necessary to go to Gurukul. So when Krishna and Balaram went to Gurukul, they learned so many things, and in the Gurukul of Sandipani Murgi, they were both Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. One of the Brahmanas, that is nicely narrated in the Krishna book, Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra was a schoolmate, classmate of Krishna and Balaram. And later on, I gone to visit Lord Krishna and Gorka, the world. Very nice Leela in that respect. The point we're trying to make is that actually, to become a leader in society, especially to lead citizens, the traditional system, which is actually again established, everything is actually established or given in our Vedic literature. What is the best way that we should lead our lives? What is the best way that we should govern society? So monarchy, but nowadays monarchy is not very popular, because what we have studied, what all of us have studied in the history of modern education, is that monarchy is very bad, because most of the history that we know, most of the history that is found in the history books, is speaking about monarchy that has, you know, kings which have ruled in Kali Yuga. Because the history just goes back, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 years, isn't it? We don't teach in modern school, modern education does not touch on very ancient history, or if it does, very, very little. Whereby, just like in the pages of the Bhagavatam, we see examples of monarchs, such as Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, before that, Lord Ramachandra, so many King Vrishabhadev, so many great monarchs who were properly trained in a system of Gurukul, and they would learn so many so many things in relation to their particular duty or responsibility, as well as learn about the spiritual dimension of life. So they were Raja, qualified administrators, and also qualified Rishis. Qualified Rishis means they were understanding the spiritual dimension and what are the main duties and responsibilities of monarchs or kings was to actually see that their citizens, the citizens in their country were given an opportunity to practice spiritual life. So Radhas so here Krishna is in presenting the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He is himself explaining that at that time, that is one of the reasons why Krishna came, appeared 5,000 years ago. There were many demoniac type of rulers on the planet. Many kings who were not following the principles of dharma. A king is meant to uphold the principles of dharma. So Krishna, as it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Pramaya Sadhanam Pinasaya Tanskritam Dharma Samstapanathaya Samparami Yuvayin. That's probably another verse of very famous verse. But Krishna comes mainly for three reasons. Paritranaya Sadhanam, to give association, to give association and protection to the sadhus. Paritranaya Sadhanam, Vinasaya Chadushpidam, the Dushpidinas, miscreants, those who are what is called Nastik, who don't believe in God, don't follow him. Then he comes to actually chastise them and dharma samstapanathaya, to establish the codes of dharma, the codes of religion. And this knowledge that is given by Krishna, knowledge about dharma, is actually what can properly direct a society. Each and every individual has an opportunity to become acquainted with spiritual or transcendental knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada here makes the point that in a similar way, 5,000 years ago, when Krishna detected that this knowledge was actually not being followed, that the disciplinary succession was broken. So, this is also very much, Srila Prabhupada points out the situation today, that although there are many editions of the Bhagavad Gita, up until this presentation of the Bhagavad Gita, there was actually no rendering of the original essential teachings of the Bhagavad Gita in the matter of two things especially. Number one, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and number two, that the process by which we can realize and understand Krishna is the process of bhakti or devotional service. So sometimes people, they will say, but what is the difference between your Swamiji translating the Bhagavad Gita and so many other people? You know, it's one person translating, so it's his interpretation. One would think in this way, people, they give this argument also. It is not actually like that. Most people actually are not aware in which manner Srila Prabhupada translated not only the Bhagavad Gita but the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is important to understand. Whenever Srila Prabhupada, actually he started this way back, actually before coming to India, when Srila Prabhupada took to Vanaprastha, which means retired from family life. As we know, he went to Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, he stayed at the Baba Damodar temple and simply absorbed himself in writing literature in connection with, let's say, Vaishnava philosophy. Vaishnava philosophy is actually what Srila Vyasadeva has nicely summarized from the Vedanta Sutra in what is called the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so intimately connected with the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Vyasadeva, such a great personality, is actually an incarnation of Krishna, a literary incarnation. He understood that Kali Yuga is beginning, and that in this period, very difficult period of Kali Yuga in which we are living, it would be extremely difficult for the majority of people to understand anything about the Vedic traditions. So therefore, he summarized all of the Vedic literatures, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when Srila Prabhupada took up this, we can say mission, it is a mission, because Krishna, when he comes for a mission. His mission is to revive the original teachings and to give an opportunity for people to understand how to get out of these sufferings that we all encounter in this material world. So, the point I'm trying to make is that I see Srila Prabhupada, whenever he, from the moment he started to translate, especially Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, he always had the original commentaries of the great acharyas. In the history, in our Vaishnava history especially, there are great Vaishnava acharyas, such as Madhvacharya, Srila Ramananda Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Sridhar Swami. They have all commented, they have all written, following in Guru Parampara, what is called commentaries on the Vedic literatures, commentaries especially on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vaishnava is actually specialized mainly on the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because the teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam are, we could say, an extension of the main teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So, whenever Srila Prabhupada would translate, he would open up these original commentaries from these great personalities. So that means wherever, especially when Srila Prabhupada left India, he traveled to many different countries, and that is one of the reasons he had different secretaries, you know, traveling with him, because they have to carry these different books, big volumes, you know. So acharya, we must understand the meaning of acharya. Acharya is someone who is very, very advanced spiritually, self-realized soul. And these acharyas, due to their very elevated spiritual position, they are actually able to, they are in direct connection with the transcendental level. They are direct, in direct connection, actually, with Krishna. That is the meaning of self-realized souls, the greater personalities. The acharyas, they do not contradict themselves when making commentary on the teachings of the Vedic literatures. This is something also very important. The Vedic literatures, we should know, are originally coming from Krishna. And this is, of course, one of the important points regarding this verse, is that Krishna, at the beginning of every creation, reveals the Vedic knowledge to the first living entity, Lord Brahma. At the beginning of every day of Lord Brahma, that Vedic knowledge is revealed to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is actually the first living entity who then transmits and transfers this Vedic knowledge to his different followers. And like this, it is generally transmitted through these different Rajarshis and other sentient persons. So, just like Lord Brahma revealed this knowledge to many individuals, one of the foremost individuals is Narada Muni. Narada Muni actually became the guru or spiritual master of Sri Vyasadeva, and in this way, there's a list of limited lists about all of the individuals, but the main persons who received this knowledge are listed actually in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is something very important, that this knowledge that we are receiving in this particular edition of the Bhagavad Gita, that is why it is so important, whoever is wanting to properly and clearly understand the full meaning of the Bhagavad Gita, it is imperative that one read a commentary given by someone who is knowledgeable about the essence of the message of the Vedic literatures, which is devotion, loving devotion or bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So both in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, that is clearly established. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna, although there are so many different incarnations, actually it is not easy. It is not at all easy to make out what is the absolute truth. Because so many teachings are there in the Vedic literatures, so many persons are giving various interpretations of these teachings also. So, Guru Parampara, this word, is also very important. Up to now we are speaking about Parampara. What is also important is the word Guru. We cannot, we were touching on this point this morning, we cannot by our own self, by our own effort, with our own limited intelligence, understand about the absolute truth. We must take assistance, guidance, shelter of Guru, authorized Guru, Sadguru. India, of course, is full of gurus. It is the land of gurus. But we must know the difference between what is Sadguru and the opposite is Asat. Sat and Asat. Sat means actually someone who is clearly and fully understanding about Tattva, the absolute truth. There are many actually disciplic successions in India. There are many Guru Paramparas, but they are not all Sat Guru Parampara. That's important. If one is connected with a Parampara which is not giving the basic, the conclusion, basic teaching of the Bhagavad Gita, as we mentioned earlier, the matter of that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, Prabhupada explains that it is not at all easy. It's not so easy to even grasp or accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And until and unless one comes to that position, that is why, for example, in the Western countries, I'm sure Prabhupada explains in this way also, in many ways people in the Western countries are very unfortunate because it's like being born in Canada, there is no Vedic culture in Canada. now it is by the mercy of Sri Prabhupada, you know, beginnings of the Vedic culture. So it is unfortunate because that knowledge and culture is out there. Whereas in India, that great fortune is there because so much of aspects, so much of information is there coming or connected with the Vedic culture. But Srila Prabhupada explains there is also one fortunate aspect. The fortunate aspect is that not having been exposed to so many false interpretations of this Vedic culture, people from the Western country were able to start with a clean sheet, so to speak. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada was able to give the proper impression. You have a paper that already has so many writings and whatnot, you try to print something on it, it's going to be blurry. But if you have a clean sheet of paper, you print something on it, it's clear. So that is one advantage for those like myself outside of India. We're not exposed because of Kali Yuga, that is the problem. Kali Yuga, by definition, Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel and misunderstanding. Just like, I'll just very briefly, I mean, that could be a whole lecture or a whole class in itself, but I'll just touch on this point just to make, to illustrate a point regarding Varnashrama. Nowadays, many people, most people probably in India, don't like to talk too much about Varna and Ashrama. Or they might want to talk a little bit about Ashrama, Ashram, Ramachari Ashram, like that. But the Varnas is like, you know, a little more touchy. Varna means Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. I was actually practically shocked. I think last year sometime when I heard for the first time that there are laws here in India that at certain places or in a certain context, if you use the word Shudra, you can be fined or arrested. I don't know, actually there's some law in there. Because actually there's been, unfortunately, very great abuse on the word, I'll give you another example, on the word Shudra. Shudra actually, to be Shudra is a very elevated position. What is Maharaj saying? Explanation, perfect. Actually, to be Shudra is a very elevated position. Why? Because it is part of the Varnashrama system. If one is not part of the Varnashrama system, he is not considered, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, not considered to be a human being. So if one is Shudra, it means he's a human being. He may, yeah. So it is, and also Shudra, there are descriptions and explanations in the Srimad Bhagavatam whereby good Shudra means someone, Shudra actually means good servant. Just to make it very simple, good servant. The other example I want to give is the example, here in India, we take it for granted, the swastika. Swastika. Do you know that in America, this was not so long ago, some people, they made some product and they put it on the shelf, you know, in the store, and somehow they put the swastika sign. Within 1 week, those products were all taken away from the shelf. Because in America, swastika means, I don't know what Hitler means, means something very bad, isn't it? So, of course, we know who in India, swastika is an integral part of the Vedic culture. Like this morning, I didn't notice, but I see one is supposed to do swastika on the thighs. But we have a jagya sacrifice. Swastika mark is supposed to be there. It's very auspicious, very significant also. So, does it mean that because swastika, the sign of swastika, has been misused someplace, somewhere, by someone, that we should reject it? So the same question, does it mean that because the word Shukra has been misused, misunderstood, does that mean we should reject it? Does it mean that the system of Varna and Ashrama, because since many, many years, even we can say since many centuries, actually since many centuries, the system of Varna and Ashrama has been misused and misunderstood here in India? Does that mean the system is bad? No. Otherwise, why would Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita state Chatura Bhagyam Maya Srishta Mukuna Karma Vibhavacharam? Krishna himself is giving this system of Varna and Ashrama. But when we leave out the Krishna factor, the divine or spiritual dimension of Varnashrama, when we fail to understand that actually each and every member of the system of Varnashrama is a devotee of Krishna, servant of Krishna. Not only Shudra is meant to be servant, Brahmana is also servant, Kshatriya is also servant, Vaisya is also servant. We are all Jivera Swarup Hari Krishna Nitya Das. We are the eternal servants of Krishna. But when we don't have that knowledge, just like Brahmana, to be a Brahmana is something very special, very elevated. But there are many Brahmanas who don't understand the Bhagavad Gita, who don't understand the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, don't accept or understand Krishna through Bhagavan Swayam, and therefore worship so many different demigods. As long as we worship so many different demigods, it means we don't understand Krishna. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly explains that to worship demigods, it is not a good proposition. It is not, because mostly when people who worship demigods do that for material gain, for some material purpose. And one does that because one is willing to understand who is Krishna. When we know who is Krishna, when we know who is God, if we simply concentrate on worshipping God, God is one. When we simply concentrate on worshipping Krishna and loving devotion, everyone else actually becomes automatically satisfied. Not necessary to worship independently other persons. So, I don't want to take too much more time. This verse is very important. I would like to request all of you who are possibly not yet having a copy of this particular Bhagavad Gita, unless one actually reads this Bhagavad Gita and puts into practice the simple teachings given by Krishna, then one will not be able to clearly understand about spiritual life. Spiritual life is actually very simple. It is simple. Why? Because as one takes up the authorized process given by Krishna, there is a transformation that takes place naturally or organically, to use a common popular word today, organic. Our nature, our spiritual nature, is that we are meant to engage in loving service to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is simply helping us to understand this basic reality of life. So our humble request is to kindly, even though you may have some other edition of the Bhagavad Gita, please get a copy of this edition of the Bhagavad Gita, try to understand the very special and unique position of Krishna as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom all knowledge, all the knowledge comes, and through whom, as he is doing 5,000 years ago, the whole parampara system is established. And all of us who are sitting here, actually we are sitting here mainly and especially due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Had Srila Prabhupada not gone to the Western countries to present this Bhagavad Gita, well, I wouldn't be sitting here. I don't know about all of you. Probably none of us would be here because this temple wouldn't be here. So we are not only greatly indebted to Srila Prabhupada as actually the greatest spiritual ambassador of India in our modern times, we are also immensely indebted to all of the acharyas whose commentary Srila Prabhupada has summarized in the purports of the Bhagavad Gita and also the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, spiritual life is actually meant to be simple. We make it complicated because we don't apply the simple process given by the acharyas. That simple process given by the acharyas is nicely summarized once again in this particular edition of the Bhagavad Gita. Kindly take this opportunity to study on a regular basis. And devotees are here. There are in other temples also. One can be in contact with devotees very easily nowadays through internet also. If there are any doubts or any questions, that maybe there is, it is quite natural that there may be doubts. But one should contact persons who are applying the process of bhakti to clear up these different doubts. So we have a few minutes possibly if there are any questions or doubts or comments. Okay. Okay.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had delineated some people as apasampradaya, but they are still in the disciplic succession. What is the fate of people who get initiated by such people?
The question is, one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has written actually some book giving a list that was in those days, a list of some 11 or 12 approximately, what is called apasampradaya. Apasampradaya means out of the disciplined succession, not in proper disciplined succession. The question is, what is the fate of those people who are following those paramaras system? Well, it is very simple and very clear to understand. If one is not in Guru Parampara, which is leading to Krishna, to the Siddhanta, or the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures, one is misled and one will not be able to actually attain perfection of life or attain mukti or liberation until and unless one comes in proper contact and connects with proper guru parampara. So I was mentioning earlier, there are many paramparas, there are many gurus in India especially, I mean thousands, maybe millions of, anyways, hundreds of thousands, I haven't counted them. But there's hundreds of thousands of gurus in India, and I also haven't counted how many guru parampara, disciplined succession. But we should understand that actually, if a parampara is not giving this basic teaching,
Vedaya Sarvaya Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vivadit Eva Chaham. That is one of the many statements mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, also supported by all of the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans, great self-realized souls, who support and say the same thing, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if one is following some parampara, that is not giving the conclusion of these teachings from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then they cannot be liberated. They will have to again take birth until they are fortunate to come in contact with Vaishnava, persons who are in proper knowledge, having their proper siddhanta. Any other question? Yes. Loudly, please. As much as possible. I'll repeat it anyways. Go ahead.
Actually, we had a Madhvacharya to distance from this is from Vyasadeva. This is to knowledge from Vyasadeva.
Yes.
Madhvacharya. So, but Vyasadeva was 500 years ago. And Madhvacharya something like 700-500 years ago.
Yes.
So, between that, was there no guru in our order?
Okay. I'll repeat the question. So the question is that in our Guru Parampara, Srila Madhvacharya is listed as having received knowledge from Srila Vyasadeva. And we know that Srila Vyasadeva was living 5,000 years ago, whereas Srila Madhvacharya was just a few hundred years back. So what happened in between? Is it?
Yeah.
Or how is it that Madhvacharya received the knowledge from Srila Vyasadeva? That's the question.
Question is, what happened in between?
What?
What happened in between?
What happened in between? sometimes, as it is explained here, the knowledge is lost, or the succession is broken. It is not necessarily that nobody was a devotee of Krishna, but there was no powerful acharya to carry on in a, let's say, systematic or organized manner. So Srila Bhattacharya, between the time, let's say, from the time he appeared and before, there were many definitely devotees or Vaishnavas, but he chose to actually, that is part of the narration or the history of Srila Madhvacharya. He actually went to the Himalayas. He went to the Himalayas. Now we generally don't easily understand how it is possible that in the Himalayas there are certain personalities who are still living. Srila Vyasadeva, it is understood, and he's not the only one, is still living in the Himalayas. How is this possible? That is actually explained that Srila Madhvacharya had darshan of Srila Vyasadeva, and received actually knowledge from him, especially in regards to the Bhagavad Gita. So, what happened in between, because it is Kali Yuga, there are many irregularities, and we should be satisfied in knowing or understanding that Srila Madhvacharya desired to have that exchange with Srila Vyasadeva in order, and by this exchange he actually was able to write his commentary. Acharyas do not only write commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, they also write commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Because actually Bhagavad Gita, certain aspects Krishna himself explains to Arjuna. Unless one is
a devotee and very favorable to Krishna. Bhaktosi me sadajiti rahasyam hiyatatamam rahasyam. This knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, this even the very knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually very confidential knowledge, not so easily understood. There has to be some pre-qualifications, which can only come when one takes up the process that Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. Just to summarize, there were different personalities, but Srila Bhattacharya chose to have contact or connection with Srila Vyasadeva himself. It is described, I mean, there are many things that we cannot so easily understand. It is described that in the Himalaya Mountains, for example, there are certain personalities, very elevated souls, who are living there and waiting for the end of Kali Yuga, waiting for this Kali Yuga to come to an end. That will take another, what is it, 400 and, well, Kali Yuga lasts for 430,000 years, 433,000 years, out of which only 5,000 has passed. So like that. So I think we, okay, one last question.
Maharaj, how do we recognize Acharya and discipline succession?
The question is, how does one recognize the Acharya and the discipline succession? Yes, one has to, just like a similar question was asked to Srila Prabhupada, how do we understand that your devotees, somebody was asking about Prabhupada's disciples, or that the process you're giving is the right process, Prabhupada answered, we have to look at the results. And then Srila Prabhupada elaborated on that. We have to see which individuals have become mostly the most addicted to loving Krishna and serving Krishna. So, discipline succession means where one is understanding the Siddhanta or the conclusion of the Vedas, which is of course bhakti or devotion to the Lord, and whoever is especially very active and very visibly devoted in applying the process of devotion service and presenting this transcendental knowledge, we can understand that that is Bhakti Guru Parampara. We also always must cross-reference with three things, what is called Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So it is not only simply from what Guru may say. Guru must say what is actually supported in Shastra. And also Guru must say what is also supported by other great acharyas. So we have that. So many, actually the Goswamis of Vrindavan especially, were appointed, requested by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to extract from the Vedic literatures the essence, the essential teachings of the Vedas, and especially for us here in Kali Yuga. And that is why we have, for example, the Bhaktiya Samrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, and so many books actually by the Goswamis, the essence of which, of course, and the Goswamis also wrote commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada has taken from that also. So in other words, we have to look at the results. Or as one of our former devotee friends of Krishna, devotee himself, George Harrison, used to say that the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. So if we can taste, if we can experience bhakti, devotional service, by following the process given by Srila Prabhupada, and we don't understand that the process, is bona fide in our minds. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki
Jai,
Jai Nataraj Mahayodam
ki Jai,
Jai Nataraj
Mahayodam ki Jai.